Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It is Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Today we are once again speaking with House Speaker Davey Carter. We're talking about, of course, private option. What else? It's another week in the Capitol starting this morning where they'll be battling it out there, so we'll check in with him for the absolute latest. But first, here are some of your headlines over the last couple of days. Senator Mark Pryor officially endorsing a push to raise Arkansas's minimum wage. If you heard, Pryor says a minimum wage hike would help lift Arkansans out of poverty. And over the weekend, he signed a petition to get the issue on the ballot. The current minimum wage in Arkansas is $6.25 an hour. The federal minimum is $7.25 an hour. Pryor is supporting an initiative to raise the Arkansas minimum wage to $8.50 an hour by the year 2017. He says a gradual increase will actually help business owners as well. And Pryor stresses that he does not support President Obama's push to raise the federal wage to $10.10 over the next 3 years. And this is something that we don't see often. His challenger for his Senate seat, Republican Tom Cotton, they appear to be on the same page for once. A spokesman for Cotton's campaign saying, quote, reiterating this, they say, quote, this is a rare issue where Senator Pryor and Tom agree. A $10 minimum wage imposed by Washington is bad for Arkansas workers and businesses. They go on to say it would hurt the very people we're trying to help. Tom believes this issue is best left to the states, and it's a good idea to let Arkansas voters decide the matter, end quote. The nation's governors gathered in Washington this weekend for the winter meeting of the National Governors Association, and of course our own Mike Beebe was in attendance. At the meeting, Beebe called for more bipartisanship in the federal government. The governor says reaching across the aisle isn't hard for governors to do since they have so many things they agree on. Beebe and the other governors wrapped up their meeting Sunday afternoon. Well, many of the men and women who want to run for office have made it official, doing so at the state capitol on Monday. That kicked off the 2014 filing period. More than 100 candidates placed a bid for office, according to the Secretary of State's office. The second floor of the Capitol, of course, decked out with bunting flags and various tables for candidates to navigate through. Now, it's one thing to say you're going to run, but actually filing is another story. So people making that decision as well, putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, when you're running for office. Others of note who made it official yesterday, Congressman Tom Cotton, of course, we talked about him filing for U.S. Senate. Congressman Tim Griffin, representing Arkansas's 2nd District, he's filing for the lieutenant governor's race. And former congressman from right here in Northwest Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, filing for governor. Now, none of the Democratic opponents in these races have filed just yet. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on that as they do. Now, the struggle over health care in Arkansas will continue today, as we talked about. And funding for the private option doesn't appear to be a sure thing anymore. House Speaker Davey Carter, who we'll talk to in just a moment, says he does think it'll eventually pass, or did feel that way. We'll talk to him about that and see where he stands on the issue now. But again, for a fourth day, the failure bringing in new wrinkles to the health care battle. After more than an hour of delays on Friday, the House failed to pass a $915 million appropriation. Again, as we said, for the fourth straight day. And they needed 75 votes. They only got 71, sort of, and we'll talk about that in a minute. House Speaker Davey Carter says the entire budget for the state government is essentially held up until the House passes the private option. Now, again, as we talked about, that's 71 votes. While supporters of the private option only managed to get those 71 votes Friday, they may actually be closer to that elusive 75th vote needed, according to a tweet shortly after the vote by House Minority Leader Greg Letting of Fayetteville. The Democrat tweeted, quote, "The official tally might have been 71, but two eyes were out of the chamber. We're within two now." And then, of course, hashtag ArcLedge. And, of course, fellow Fayetteville State Representative Charlie Collins, we caught up with him on his way back to Little Rock. He agrees with Letting. So they're at 73 right now, looking for 75. I'm joined now by Speaker of the Arkansas State House, Davey Carter, just to kind of check in on the private option battle, which will continue this morning. First of all, thanks for taking time.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's get straight into it. Obviously, it's about 8:30 right now. A lot of stuff will happen throughout the day, I'm sure. But what can you tell folks right now as far as where we are in the private option battle?
JR, have set March 6th, which is next Thursday, is our day. We hopefully can vote on our Revenue Stabilization Act and recess session, which effectively would be the end of the session. So there is a whole bunch of other business that we have to take care of in addition to, you know, this private option issue. So you know, I think we're going to be focused on that mainly today and tomorrow and the next day. And it just kind of get right down to the nuts and bolts of where the private op vote is. You know, the reality of the situation is that there's 73 members of the 100-member House that support the appropriation as written. There's 27 that don't. The 27 that don't cannot produce any sort of alternative plan to get not only can they not do that, produce 75 other people to support that plan, but they can't produce 51 people to amend the bill or really do anything procedurally. So, you know, there's been a lot of discussions about, you know, me, the Speaker's office, you know, forcing votes and doing this and doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about the math. And, you know, I would go to one of the members and the, you know, that are in this 27-member group and say, help me, you know, produce a appropriation that you think that you can, I could get 75 other members to agree with. And universally, the answer is, well, you know, we can't. And they're right. They can't do that. So the Senate's already passed it. Here we are. I there's a lot of other business that we have to take care of. So, you know, that's kind of the posture that I'm in. You know, the reality is either two of the 27 people need to, come and, you know, produce some ideas on how they can support the current bill, or one of the 27 people need to produce some idea that can gain the support of 75 other members. And again, I think that is universally recognized as an impossible task at this point. So that's kind of where we are.
Well, and let me ask you about that. Obviously, you used the word kind of an impossible task at this point. Have you spoken? I mean, are there any members at all? You don't have to obviously name names, but have you spoken with members that are on the fence about the issue, or is it pretty, you know, a hard 27 no's and a hard 73 yeses?
Yeah, let me clarify what I'm saying about impossible. It's impossible at this point for any of the 27 people that are against it right now. They all, to my knowledge, recognize that there is no other version of this bill that can get 75 votes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got
it's not impossible to get 75 on this current bill.
I got what you're saying.
But yeah, there are people that are on the fence. And, you know, JR, I'm going to get into a whole lot of this stuff, but part of this, voting, we voted a handful of days last week. I don't want anybody to lose sight that there was a negotiation. A Representative Bell, probably the most conservative person in this body and perhaps in the free world, came to me, Representative Burris, Senator Sanders, and Dismang, and ultimately up to the governor of the state of Arkansas, and had some amendments and had a compromise proposal. And at that time, he had it looks like four or five other members and kind of in his group that are close to him that had agreed to go along with this to avoid the situation that we're in. But for whatever reasons, kind of after Representative Bell walked that plank, those gentlemen backed out on it. And now, you know, they some claim that nobody's negotiating with them. Well, the reality is, you know, there's a lot of other people that didn't like those amendments, but they went along with it and negotiated in good faith, and it didn't get us very far. So, we've got that's going on, and then you've got people that would kind of consistently say, well, I can't vote for it today, but I can for tomorrow, and my comment would help me explain why. Have the position be different, tomorrow than it is today or next day. And it was a variety of reasons that I won't get into now, and none of them I fully understand.
Right. And let me ask you.
Charlie Brown pulled the football out for a handful of days. But, all that stuff goes on, up here, and I think it's been going on up here for decades. The very things that, I guess I get accused of pushing in and pushing and doing this for votes and doing this and that, I mean, are some of the very things that I'm trying to stop. And again, the reality of the situation is this. This bill has received 28 votes in the Senate, and it's passed. It's been through Joint Budget Committee, through the Senate, and it's passed. It has 73 of the 100 members of the House of Representatives support it, and there has been not one single viable alternative that's been presented that can garnish that level of support. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. So, whether we do anything today on it, I really don't know. I'm at the Capitol now, and there's discussions going on. But that's where we are.
So at this point, you're not sure you will vote on it today for the fifth time.
Okay. I'm not sure. We may, depending on conversations that are going throughout the day. But mm-hmm. It's certainly not something we're going to continue to do every day. I mean, I recognize the optics of that, but it's not nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. Mm-hmm. Nobody's forcing anything. It's just the reality of the situation, and we have a session that is trying to wind itself down. If you're 27 of 100, somebody's got to either two people have to recognize the situation we're in and support this compromise appropriation, which it is a compromise appropriation after Nate Bell's amendment.
Uh-huh.
Or number two, alternatively, somebody has to produce some other bill, some other idea that can get 75 votes and to make the Senate unwind what they did and start over and give them a supermajority of those senators to support it. So, to me, the situation at hand just seems very clear that that those are the only really two avenues here, and nobody that disagree, nobody in opposition of the current legislation can come up or provide anybody with any other alternative plan that's mm-hmm. successful.
Let me ask you, and there's a question.
I have 100 members here. And,
sure.
I respect every single one of them. And, we have to there's 3 million people, watching what we're doing in the state of Arkansas. And, we have to realize the reality of that situation that we're in. That's been part of my frustrations, and I probably shouldn't, in hindsight, reflect on some of those as openly as I have. But, it's to not recognize that situation and that I just, discussed, and to think there's some realistic way to unwind all of this, get support, but nobody puts forth the effort to do so, or at least, that's going to drive some of that frustration.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult, and it's not that anybody's views are outweigh anyone else's.
Uh-huh.
And I know there's some major policy differences amongst the members, and I respect that. But at the same time, there are a handful of members that seem to be on the fence, and for whatever reason, that it's a timing issue, that's where we are. But we've got a whole other. The budget has to be set, and there's a lot of other agencies and appropriations, mm-hmm. and just other business that we have to tend to, and that's what I think we'll see today and tomorrow. And I guess I would characterize my position as kind of the ball's court. Nobody can produce an alternative plan that's going to get 75 members of this chamber to support it.
What is the – how much – it's obviously the 2014 elections. It's a big year. How much does filing week have to do with some of these votes, if at all? But, I mean, obviously that's something that, you know, I know there are members, and I'm sure there are those part of the 27 that are against the private option funding at the moment that may be looking at that filing deadline as maybe something that can help them vote more easily come noon next Monday. Is that something that has been discussed or thought about, or what can you talk about with that?
Yeah, I've heard that from some members, and, you know, I guess, I would, from my perspective, I would kind of categorize the group, the 27 people that are opposed to it, kind of in three or four different groups. I mean, you've got, I think there's some that have races that they're running, like Representative Clemmer would be his friend of mine, but you know, she's kind of changed her position on it, and I think arguably, you know, because she's entered this congressional race. You do have a couple of members in that group. There's some others that I would kind of put in the Representative Bell group that kind of led him on to believe that they were going to support his amendments, and for whatever reason backed out of that. And I would argue that's kind of how we got this position, quite frankly, that we're in now. And then you've got, kind of a third group that, maybe on the fence for other reasons, and I'll just kind of leave it at that. But, primary season, you can't deny that doesn't affect members of both parties, how they operate. It's been that way forever.
And just break that down really fast. You said there's three different groups, and I know you said the third group you're not really going to get into too much, but can you give us a little something? What do you mean when you talk about the kind of that third group of folks that are kind of still figuring out the private option stuff?
JR, I probably, I don't really want to get into all that. There's just, I'm sure people are aware that, it's not 100% policy driven on in some of the behavior, okay. And I'll just kind of leave it at that.
Okay.
It's again, I go back to we've gone through pre-budget hearings. We've had it's gone through joint budget, which is for the listeners, it's both House and Senate budget members. It's gone through the Senate and it's passed with a supermajority vote. Now it's in the House, but 73 of the 100 members support it. And that leaves the situation that there is no other alternative. No alternative has been presented or even being circulated that has any chance of getting 75 members in the House to vote for it. And the supermajority of the Senate. I mean, the Democratic Party was irate about the Nate Bell amendments. I mean, absolutely irate about it. And, they went along with it because they were told that this was, a compromise to kind of avoid this situation that, that we've all kind of recognized we were going to be in over the last 2 or 3 months. And whenever, so I agreed to that. I didn't really like Nate's amendments, quite frankly. And, you had the governor agreed to that, and everybody negotiated in good faith. And, I want to commend Senator Bell. He's taken so much flack for both sides. I would submit that he's probably done, been the most constructive member up here. At least he's recognized the situation, and he tried to find a solution to get out of this quagmire. So it's he's just done a fantastic job. That's how we got in this situation. And when you negotiate. And people take positions, and you do so under certain terms and conditions. And when those terms and conditions traditions aren't honored, you know, that just doesn't sit well. So, so here we are, and presumably some of the 27 members that remain now want to come back and say, you know, well, you're not negotiating, even though some of them have already agreed to the negotiated compromise, and then ask, you know, all of these other people to give in even more. And, you know, the reality of the situation is that the other side of this is not going to budge anymore. And from their perspective, they've already done so, and I tend to agree with them. So that's kind of where we are. I'm certain it will resolve itself one way or the other, you know, we'll pick up the other business today, and, you know, we've got a lot of other appropriations and things to go through and get this budget set. And we've got to provide certainty to the people of Arkansas. Mark don't like uncertainty, and, you know, it's not, I do worry about, you know, the 3 million people in this state, and, you know, having uncertainty to this, at this level, you know, is something that bothers me and concerns me. So I want to get it resolved, but, it's just a difficult situation, but, you know, I think I've laid it out about as clear as I can, but I'll be glad to try to clear it, answer any more questions you may have.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. I've got just a couple of quick questions, and one of more so just kind of looking back and comparing. But really quickly, for those that don't know, Representative Nate Bell, we're talking about the amendment that will that the no funds from the state government will go towards marketing the private option. Correct? Is that the amendment we're talking about?
Yeah, that. You know, you took out the what we termed as the navigator. That, and It was a very controversial amendment. The majority of the members did not like, would be an understatement, but, you know, they negotiated on those terms, and now they're all being accused of not negotiating.
Well, moving past all of the actual policy part of things, you go into the politics aspect of it. I know it was a very, very crazy week last week, and one of the big popular shows right now, obviously, House of Cards. And I think a lot of people on Friday, when we had Representative Payton, who wasn't there, and it had to do with the pairing votes and all this stuff that was going on, many people saw for the very first time. I know you guys deal with that on a regular basis, but there were a lot of paired votes. Something happened with that, and then you called Capitol Police to go find him. Correct? What was going through your mind at that point in time? I think, obviously, the House of Cards I'm referring to, I think there was a couple episodes into this season, and I think he brings some of the members in the Senate in, and it was just kind of interesting as far as that correlates together. What was going through your mind? Have you ever been part of something like that before? It was kind of strange to the outside looking in.
Yeah, I understand that. And, yeah. You know, I spoke to Representative Payton, you know, later that afternoon. He called and said he was sorry for leaving. You know, JR, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things going through that moment. You know, we have these policy debates, and that's certainly fine. But, you know, for the listeners, you know, the pairing vote has been a, you know, kind of a common courtesy for members that have other business to take care of, maybe being back in their district or whatever the case may be. And they, you know, if they're a yes vote, or, you know, the procedures require them to go find someone that would be a no vote, whatever the issue is. They have to have a witness, and it would be like me coming to you, JR, and saying, hey, JR, I'm going to be out of town. I really want my vote to be counted. Are you going to be here? JR, yes, David, I will be here. So you go through the paperwork, you sign it, and, you know, Davey leaves the building, you know, kind of relying on, you know, the deal I made with JR, and then, you know, kind of the last minute, you know, JR leaves, and none of the votes get counted. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that, but, you know, we had 87 people here, and, you know, I think everyone was cognizant of, you know, what we were we were boating that day. Mm-hmm. And every boat, obviously, is very important.
Sure.
And, you know, we had 87 other members that stayed in Little Rock, come up here really for that sole purpose. We had all of the staff here. We had the galleries were full. And, you know, I just really, you know, we can't have procedural trickery like that. The refusal's fair. That happened the day before. You know, I think you saw there's YouTube things going around where Representative Wren had gotten to a pretty heated argument with someone who refused to pair. It's just those kind of things that I think are, I don't know what the right word is, but I don't think it's in the spirit of kind of what this body and stands for. We're all paid to be up here every day. You know, these members get per diem for being here. I mean, I've got a lot of other things that I do in the private sector as well. And, you know, I've told all of the members on Monday that, you know, to adjust their schedules accordingly because we're probably going to be here on Friday. And, you know, just to get in that situation, I just felt like it was I just didn't really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Would I do that again? I don't know. I mean, I'll have for the moment. But Representative Debbie Hobbs, after that, you know, she refused to sign the pair and it's just for no reason. I mean, that's, you know, before all that happened, I was told that Representative Hobbs would sign it. So we go back out there and sent my chief of staff over there to kind of redo the paperwork as she was still sitting there. And for whatever reason, just refused to do so. Hmm. And so there we were with no real reason than other just trying to, I don't know what purpose that served her for not doing that or for John leaving, but there we all were, 87 people sitting in the chamber, House of Representatives, with all of the, you know, the work that had gone into that for no real reason. And if that sort of behavior takes place continuously, that's very unproductive, and it's just not fair to the rest of the members that are here. It'd be like having a basketball game, and the other team they show up, do the warm ups, and then they leave. I mean, that's basically, you know, the audience is there, the crowd is there, the other team is warmed up, they practice, they're ready for the game, they travel to the game, and then the home team leaves. I mean, it's just that kind of stuff that we can disagree on all these policy issues, but, you know, if we start down that train, I don't know where that ends. But that's what happened, and wish it wouldn't have happened, and I spoke in Representative Payton, and everybody's moving on here.
All right, well, Speaker Carter, one last thing, I'll let you go. You can make it short and sweet. Do you think it'll pass this week?
It will. I think it will, because of the reasons I've already said, mm-hmm. that there's no other alternative that can get that kind of support. Yes, I think it will pass, whether that, you know, this week or I don't know what day, but I think it will.
All righty. All right, Speaker David Carter, thank you so much. We appreciate you taking time before yet another busy day at the Capitol.
You bet.
All righty. This has been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. You can see all of our podcasts on nwahomepage.com by clicking the local elections link. We'll see you next time.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.